Good morning, everybody. For some time now, I have had this lesson in mind, and of course, from the reading this morning from Acts chapter 10, it suggests to you that we're going to be talking about Cornelius today. There have been many lessons that have been preached on Cornelius, but maybe not exactly like this one's going to be this morning. I've wondered about how to start the lesson off, how to enter into it, what I should call it, the title. And I finally decided to call this lesson today, The Gentile Who Demanded More. And I want you to think about that as we get into our lesson today. I want to go back for just a little bit and do a little maybe bringing up to date as to where we are in history or this time period or time frame when we're talking about Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile. And for a long time, the Gentiles were looked down upon by the Jews. They considered them as being a low-class people, as sinners, considered them as being like an animal, as dogs or something of this nature. And so this was during the time Cornelius lived most of his life, I guess, during the time when this was this way. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, Jesus says, then the 12 Jesus sent forth, and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we refer to this as being the limited commission. The people, when they went out to teach, they could not just go next door and teach their neighbors. They couldn't go down on the street corner and teach people there. They were limited as to where they could go. Jesus sent the 12 to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now in Matthew chapter 15, and down about the 20th verse of that chapter, somewhere along there, a woman came to Jesus and asked him to heal her daughter, who was vexed with demons. But in the 24th verse, Jesus said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She went on asking him to heal her daughter, and he said to her, It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, the little dogs. And she said, Yes, Lord, but the little dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he healed her daughter as a result of this. In Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, the 12 were sent out to preach the gospel to the people. Of course, the people that they were to preach to was the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 3, 70 were chosen by Jesus and were sent out two by two into the places where Jesus would later on come himself, into all the cities and places where he would later come. But they were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1, John came preaching, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, Jesus came preaching, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But all of these had their hands tied. They were restricted as to who they could preach to. They were to preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, Cornelius, even though all the good things are said about him here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to read that passage again in just a moment, just for emphasis, to show you what I'm talking about, that because in spite of all this, that Cornelius was a man of honor. Let's notice again from chapter 10 and verse 1 beginning. There was a centurion man, a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour, which was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said, Your prayer and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who is lodging with Simon a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Now this is what Cornelius was interested in. We talked about he was not just happy with what he had or what he was, but he demanded more. He wanted all that was there for him. Now let's go back and think about this for just a moment. We said at this particular time, and this time in which Cornelius was living now, was under what was known as the limited commission. They were to go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Cornelius was not one of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was a Gentile. And they looked down upon him as being low class or being less than what they were. Matter of fact, they considered the Gentiles as being unclean. If you go back and look up in the dictionary the word Gentile, it'll tell you that a Gentile was anyone who was not a Jew. Anybody that was not a Jew was referred to as a Gentile. Now all these things then, all these were sent out under this limited commission. They were restricted as to who they could teach. The lost sheep of the house of Israel was the only ones that they could teach. But now this is about to change. In essence, their hands were tied as to who they could teach. But now Jesus is about to free them and to untie their hands and to give them opportunity to go into all the world, to every nation, and to preach the gospel to them. In Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 18. Now this is after Jesus had been crucified on the cross. He had been buried. He had arisen from the grave. He had told his apostles to go to the mountain in Galilee and he would meet them there. And so in verse 28 and 18, it says that he came to them and said, "All power or all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth." And then he said to them, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen." Now this is what we consider then and call the Great Commission, because the hands were untied. They had no limit as to who they could go to. Any person of any nation, it did not matter. It didn't matter the color of a person's skin. It did not matter where he was born and raised. Anywhere in the whole world, anybody deserved the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Go take it to all nations." Now we'd think this was the greatest thing that ever happened, that they would jump on this right in the very beginning. But now when we pick up here in chapter 10 of the book of Acts and talk about Cornelius, Cornelius was a Gentile. And from the time that Jesus had said, "Go teach all nations," it had been about 10 years. And nobody had ventured out to preach the gospel unto the Gentiles. 10 years now has passed. And the Gentiles still hasn't had the gospel taught. The Lord had to show Peter a sign before he would go to the house of the Gentiles, and we'll talk about that a little more as we get on further into our lesson this morning. And so here now we have the situation with Cornelius, who demanded more. He was a Gentile. He had a lot, and we're going to talk about all the different things that it talks about here in Acts chapter 10 that this man had, but he wasn't happy with that. He demanded more. As we said, the word Gentile simply means a person who is not a Jew. Now this group of people whom Peter referred to here in Acts chapter 10 as God-fearing people, the Gentiles who were interested in Judaism, but were not necessarily converts or proselytes to the Jewish religion. They worshiped the same God as the Jews did. They observed many of the same laws that the Jews did. But they were not circumcised, so far as I can tell. They'd not been circumcised as the Jews had been. But many of these God-fearers that he's talking about here in Acts chapter 10 were the first Gentiles to become Christians. And Cornelius seems to be kind of a prototype of these God-fearing Gentiles who were here, who were ready to hear the gospel, who were ready to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. You remember how that the apostle said, "It was meet that we bring the gospel to the Jews first, but you considered yourself unworthy of everlasting life, and lo, we turn to the Gentiles." And so God's plan included the Gentiles, and now is the time that Jesus said is the time to go forth and to preach the gospel unto them. We do not live under the limited commission today, even though we may act like we do. Sometime when we talk about going to all the world, we seem to think that's only our people, only our kind of people, our nation in which we grew up, that this does not include other nations and other people. But the Great Commission includes everybody. And, you know, if it had been, well, if we had lived in the time of Paul, we'd have probably said, "Well, you know, that fellow, he's persecutor of the church. He wouldn't be interested in the gospel." And we probably would not have gone to him. We'd have said, "He's too mean. He doesn't want the gospel of Christ." But he became one of the greatest workers in the kingdom of God. And God saw something in him. We need to look at people. We need to offer the gospel to them and let them decide as to whether they want the gospel or not, and not decide for them. And so we do not need to act like that we're under the limited commission. We need to act like that we're under the great commission, and that we need to teach everybody the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's for a little while look at Cornelius and see what all he had, and yet he was not satisfied with this. He demanded even more. He had much of this world's goods and the privileges that was there. He had a good job, evidently. He had a position. He was a centurion, a part of the military regiment of the Roman army. And so he was a man that was outstanding. He was somebody. And so he could have been proud of this and should have been proud of the things that he had. He had a good position for which many people would have been happy to have had. They thought, well, you know, if I had what you've got, I'd be tickled to death. But this man wanted something that this could not give. This position that he had in being a centurion and being somebody as far as the world was concerned could not give him what he wanted. Though he was referred to as a God-fearing man, this was not enough. He wanted the truth of the gospel. He wanted salvation. He demanded more than what he had. Now, this is the way we ought to be today. We ought not to be satisfied with anything less than all that God has promised us in His Word. All that God has given us the ability to be and to do, we ought not to be happy with anything less than this. This man demanded more, and we need to demand more as well. He was described as a devout man. The word devout means one that's devoted to religion or a serious type person. This man was serious about what he was doing. This is more than could be said of many. Cornelius could have said, you know, I'm a religious man. I believe in God. I fear Him. I pay my bills. I try to be a good husband, a good father. But he demanded more than this. He wanted to know what God's word was toward him. When the angel appeared to him, he said, send to Joppa for a man by the name of Peter, and he'll tell you what the Lord wants you to know. He'll tell you what should be done. This is what this man wanted. He demanded more. And you can see how he did not hesitate to send people to Joppa whenever he was told to do so. He was one who feared God with all of his house. Now, this is another thing that is a good trait that could be said about Cornelius. Not only did he fear God himself, but he must have been a good husband, a good father, because it says he feared God with all his household. So he was not happy with just knowing God and fearing God himself, but he taught his family to fear God as well. Now, how many of us do that very thing? Well, I believe in God, but am I teaching my family to believe in God? I believe in God and the seriousness of obeying Him and being obedient to His commands, but am I teaching my spouse this? Am I teaching my children this? Am I as interested in that? Or am I just happy with saying, well, I know that there's a God, and I know that He's the Almighty One, that He's the Creator, and so forth. But Cornelius was not happy with that. He taught his family the same thing. Evidently taught his children to fear God. This is what we're to do if we please God today. Whenever we have children, it's kind of like God is laying them in our hands and saying, here they are. Now you love them. You take care of them. You teach them. You educate them. And you show them what's right and wrong in the sight of God. Bring them up in the teaching and training of the Almighty God. Cornelius wanted to be able to do a better job of instructing his family in the truth. He didn't just want hearsay. He wanted to know what God had to say. So he sent to Joppa for Peter, because the angel said, Peter will tell you those words that God has for you. And so he sent for him to Joppa. We cannot know too much when it comes to teaching and leading and directing our families into salvation, not just our family, but our neighbor and whoever it is that we may come in contact with. Cornelius could have said, you know, I don't think there's anybody any better than my grandmother. And this was good enough for my grandma, and what's good enough for my grandma is good enough for me. How many times have we heard people say that? What's good enough for my grandparents was good enough for me. Or what's good enough for my parents was good enough for me. And so I feel like that if I did something different to what they do, I'd be condemning them. No, We just be obedient to the gospel of Christ. Cornelius could have said, I'm happy with my religion, and just left it at that. But no, he didn't. He demanded more. He wanted more than what this could bring. He wanted what God had to offer him, all that was available to him in God's Word. There's much that is available to us today in the Word of God, but we've got to want it. We've got to demand more. We can't just be happy with less than what God has commanded us. Another thing that was said about Cornelius was that he gave alms generously to the people. If you look up the word alms, it means a charitable gift, giving to the needy or to a charitable cause. We're taught from the Bible that we are to take care of the needy, that we're to give to the needy. And this would be widows and orphans and whoever that might be in need. This man evidently was not stingy, because it showed that he had a good heart and was concerned about others and not just himself, because it says that he gave generously to the people. And so he was not stingy. He was thinking about other people as well as himself, or maybe even more than himself. He had gathered his kinfolks and close friends whenever Peter came, when he sent, to Joppa for Peter. He did not just sit back and say, well, now I'm going to hear what God says for me. But he had other people he was interested in, and he went out and he gathered his close friends and neighbors and so forth together. And on down later in that, in the 27th verse of Acts chapter 10. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. So he had gathered many together to hear what the Lord had to say. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go into one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And so there were many people that was there waiting for Peter when he came. So Cornelius was interested in other folks. He wanted them to hear the truth as well as for him to hear the truth. And they were there waiting for Peter to come. We're to be liberal in our giving to the orphans and the widows to try to help them and be to where we can help them both materially and spiritually. And this is what he did seemingly. Cornelius demanded more than just being satisfied himself. He's not satisfied with just being a Christian man or a charitable man, but he gave his all to the Lord. Now, he was giving generously to the people, but once he had the opportunity to be a Christian, to do what God told him to do by Peter, he gave his all to the Lord. Another thing that was said about him that was admirable, I think, was that he prayed to God always. Now, if anybody had a reason not to be spiritual and not to be praying to God and so forth, it looks like Cornelius would have had, since the Jews did not consider them as being even a people. They consider them being more like animals and so forth. But this man demanded more. He wanted more than what they offered unto him. So he prayed to God always. Prayer is a very important part of our life. It not only brings blessings from God, but it also gives us strength. It gives us courage. It gives us hope when we have God to pray unto. In times of need, in times of disaster, if it were not to have God to lean upon, how could we make it through these bad times that we sometimes face? If it was good enough for Jesus, the Son of God, then surely it must be good enough for me. We see Jesus praying to the Father often. He'd go out into a desert place away from everything else to where he could concentrate on what he was doing. And he would pray to God sometime all night long, praying unto him. Cornelius' prayers was heard, it says in Acts chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. And he stared at him in terror and said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon who is called Peter. And it was him that would tell him words. In Matthew chapter 26, we see where Jesus also prayed unto God. It says, and going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And we talked about this morning the memorial service that we do in partaking of the Lord's Supper. We remember the sacrifice that Jesus made. We remember his body as it hung on the tree with the spikes driven through his hands and his feet. And as he hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, his life slowly sinking from him as the blood drifted from his body. And that blood that was shed for the remission of our sin. Jesus knew that all this was about to take place. He knew that he was going to be in horrific pain and agony. And so he prayed to the Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not I, my will be done, but thine. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples to pray. They could understand how important prayer was, and we need to understand just how important prayer is. And that's one of the greatest benefits that we have in our life, is being able to pray to God and for him to hear us and answer our prayers. Cornelius was told to send men to Joppa, which was about 30 miles south of Caesarea. So he was to send these men. He got two of the household servants and a soldier, and he sent them on their way with urgency, evidently, because all that we can see said about them, they did not hesitate. They went as swiftly as possible. They found the house that they were supposed to find. They asked for Peter, told him their mission, stayed overnight, and started back the next day to Caesarea, back to the place where Cornelius was. It seems that Cornelius immediately did what he was told to do. In Acts chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, it says, when the angel who had spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So here was the urgency to get this man that can tell me what I need to know. I want to know what God has to say for me. And not just me, but I want others to know as well. You know, he could have made excuses. He could have said, well, you know, that's an awful long way. And even if they get to Joppa, they may not be able to find the house that they're supposed to. And when they get to the house, he may be gone somewhere else. This is just a lot of trouble. You know, if the Lord wants to save me, he can save me without all of this. And so I'm just not going to do anything. That wasn't what he did. He demanded more. He did what he was told. Immediately sent these servants and the soldier to find the man that the angel said could tell him what he needed to know. Now, while these men were searching for Peter, God thought it necessary to show Peter a vision to teach him a lesson. Peter still had not learned the lesson that the Gentiles were also to be granted repentance unto life. Now look with me in verse 9 of chapter 10 of the book of Acts. The next day, as they went on their journey, this was the men from Cornelius that we're talking about, and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour, which was about noon, and he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were ready, while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and the object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals and of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. And the voice came to him, Peter, rise and eat, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that's common or unclean. The voice spoke to him again a second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered what within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called, asking for whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And so here was Peter now. God thought it necessary to show him a vision to show he would go with these people to the house of Cornelius and tell them the words that he needed to tell them. So the men sent for from Cornelius stood at the door asking for Peter, and he asked them why that they were there. And of course they began to tell him why that they came. And I want you to notice verse 22, the opinion of these men toward Cornelius, the servants and the soldier that waited on him continually. Notice what they thought of Cornelius in verse 22. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. And so this was what they, the opinion that they had of Cornelius. Much of what was said in chapter 10 in verses 1 and 2 about Cornelius was said by these people who knew him personally as to the kind of person that he really was. Now after this, Peter invited the people, these men in, and they spent the night. And then the next day, in about verse 24, on the next day Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. Now, we're not told here how many of the brethren from Joppa accompanied him, but if you look at chapter 11 and verse 12, it says there were six of these men who accompanied him from Joppa and went with him to Cornelius and entered into Cornelius' house with him when he entered in there. And so it says the following day then that he went away with the brethren from Joppa. And brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them. Now you note he had sent for him, and he was there waiting, ready for him to come back, anxious for him to come back that he could hear what he needed to hear. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And he asked Cornelius why he'd sent for him, and so he went on to explain to him why he had sent for him. And down at verse 34 in this same chapter says, Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Now across in verse 44 it says, while Peter was still speaking all these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter. This is those six men that came with him, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to tarry with them a few days. And so here was the man then that demanded more. He wanted more than what he had and what was being offered to him. He wanted the truth of the Almighty God. He wanted to know what God had in store for him, what God wanted him to do. And so we see that Peter preached unto Cornelius' household there in Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. And then the Holy Spirit falling upon the apostles there after this. Now, last of all, I want us to make application to ourselves. Go back with me now. Let's think about what we talked about earlier. Are we satisfied with less than the truth of God's Word? Cornelius was not. He demanded more. He wanted the truth of God's Word. He had a part of it, but he wanted the whole thing. He didn't want a part. He wanted everything that could come to him. Are we satisfied by only being a good moral person? Now, if we go back and look at Cornelius and look up the different words that describe him, I don't think you could find a better moral person than Cornelius was. But he was not happy with this. He demanded more. He wanted to be what God wanted him to be, not just a good person, but a religious person, one who had obeyed the gospel and become what he needed to be right in the sight of God. Do we accept a plan of salvation short of what God has authorized? You know, God says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. A lot of times people say, well, you know, I know that we got to believe, but I don't think we have to be baptized. And so we try to come short and are satisfied with being short of what God has authorized in his word. Not Cornelius. He demanded to have what God had said in his word. Are we satisfied with a religion that is almost as good as what God has authorized in his word? Sometimes you see people say, well, that's just almost what you're teaching. There's not much difference in what I believe and what you believe. Well, if there's any difference at all in either what either one of us believe to what God has said, then we need to make some changes in our life. It's not enough just to be almost as good as what God has said. Cornelius was not satisfied with this. He wanted what God had said. He wanted the truth. He wanted the words that Peter was bringing with him that God had for him to speak unto him and to his people. Do we argue that sprinkling is just as good as immersion? Do we argue that pouring water on somebody's head is just as good as being immersed in baptism? Cornelius was not this way. Cornelius demanded that he be taught the truth and that he have the truth and he be obedient to the truth. Are we advocating that one church is just as good as another, that the church doesn't matter anyway, that it's obeying God, obeying Christ that gets us to heaven? Well, maybe so, but how do we obey Christ without being a part of his kingdom and being a part of his church? In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, of course, we have in the end of all this, the thing that makes us happy, the things that gives us hope and so forth. Titus chapter 2, down at verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness or lawless deeds, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous of good works." Yes, Jesus Christ has made a way that we don't have to accept less. We can demand more, just like Cornelius did. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I don't think that Jesus was just asking here. I think Jesus was begging us to come unto him, not just asking us to and say, "You've got the opportunity." I think it was much like Jesus as he stood before the city of Jerusalem and realizing the destruction that was about to come upon Jerusalem. And he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen does gather her chickens under her wings, but ye would not." To me, he was begging them to be obedient. He's begging us to come unto him. It's there for us. Revelation 22 and verse 17 says, "Whosoever will, let him come and partake of the water of life freely." Yes, we can demand more. Just like Cornelius, we need to demand exactly what the Bible shows. The truth, nothing more, nothing less. Don't be happy with anything less than what God has authorized in his word. Don't be happy with anything less than what Jesus Christ has said and offers unto us in his word. The redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord is the greatest thing that we could ever have offered unto us. But it's left up to me and it's left up to you. I've got to make the decision myself. You've got to make the decision yourself. And as Cornelius demanded more, we need to demand more also. We need to demand all that God has promised in his word. And we need to be willing to do all that he told us to do in order to have it. The lesson is yours this morning. If you need to obey the gospel, why would you wait? Come now while we stand and as we sing.